Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Yes. It's the last day in the month of November. I'm also glad to announce to us, that the month of November, in the Sunday services, we're going to have, of course, powerful teachings, but we're going to have powerful moments of praise. The month of November is going to be our month of what? Month of what? Month of what? Because I said praise. Month of what? Month of what? Increase. By the power of what? Praise. Yes, it's going to be a month of increase by the power of praise. Then God is giving us the opportunity to enjoy two in one at the same time in the month of November. All Tuesdays in the month of November, by the grace of God, we're going to have massive prayer moments accompanied with the word of God. But we're going to pray a lot, then we'll get into the word of God. Then Sunday services, we're going to praise a lot, then we'll get into the word of God. Are we here together? So prepare your heart for what God is set to do this month of November. I believe that it is the month, you know, when we talk about the increase, we're talking about harvest. God is going to cause us to experience harvest of breakthroughs, harvest of healings, harvest of the revelation of his light upon our lives, harvest of great and mighty things. That will be the portion of you and your family in the name of Jesus. So this night I want to share with us something I consider it also one of the things that you cannot do without in scripture. I want to speak today about on the subject, five were wise and five were foolish. Then I'll talk about wisdom and I'll explain a little bit about how you can acquire divine wisdom, then general wisdom as God leads us. Are you ready tonight? Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25 tonight. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read from verse 1 to 13. I want everybody to read it in concert. I want us to read it in concert. I want you to listen. I want you to follow. I want you to learn. So let's do it together. I want to go now. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to... Oh, you're not reading with me. I'm the only one reading now. Let's start again. Want to go? Louder. Who took their lambs and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Go ahead now. Yeah. Okay. They all slumbered and slept. Yep. A cry was heard. Behold. Yeah. Listen, sometimes saying no is wisdom. Sometimes learning to say no to certain people is what? Wisdom. Learning to say no to certain people is what? Learning to say no to certain people is what? Okay, let's go ahead. We'll pick lines from this. Let's go ahead now. But the wise answered and said what? Why? Lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Glory to God. So the Bible reveals five virgins. It says five of them were wise. 10 virgins rather. Five of them were what? And five of them were what? 10 virgins. Five were what? Five were what? So get to understand that these are 10 young girls, young ladies preparing for their wedding ceremony, and they were going to meet the bride. Are we here together? And as they were going to meet the bride, the Bible describes the state. I told you that foolishness is a state. It's a condition of heart. Foolishness is a state, it's a condition of heart. When you tell somebody that they are foolish, you are not insulting them. You are explaining to them the state of their mind. You are explaining to them the condition that they have found themselves. You know how painful it is when somebody says you're very foolish. But if you look at it very well, the person is actually drawing a conclusion based on the decision you have made, the way you have acted, something you have done, or something you refuse to do. True or false? So it wasn't an insult here. It was just explaining their state, explaining their situation. Somebody uses their house rent to play Niger bet and landlord is chasing them. What are they? Foolish. It's just explanation of their condition. Something has brought them to that point. That because the person does not understand priority. Food, clothing, and shelter priority. If you fail to understand that priority, you end up in foolishness. Do you understand what I'm saying here right now? It's as simple as that. So I was thinking that. No, you did not think. Actually, when people are foolish, they did not think. I'll show you the foundation of wisdom. Every time people act in foolishness, as a result of the fact that they fail to do the right thing, thinking. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Very good. Now, five of them were wise and five were what? Foolish. In other words, we can explain. Why did the Bible say five were wise and five were foolish? The next verse explains what brought them to this situation. The next verse says was, those who were called foolish, let's put it that way now, took their lamps and took no oil with them. Because of that, they are what? Foolish. In other words, it is expected that the person who has taken lamp and cannot predict the time that the bridegroom will come should take extra oil. Because while they were going to meet the bridegroom, they did not tell them specifically at what time the bridegroom would show up. The Bible didn't say that they said it was going to show up by 12 or by 2 or by 3 or by 4. The expectation is that somebody should have taken extra oil. Am I making sense here right now? Just like when something happens and you tell a person, you should have known. Have you been there before? In other words, you're saying you did not envisage it. You did not capture it. If you had captured it, you would have been wise. Meaning that you would have done what you should have done and you will not find yourself in a situation of pain or regrets. Are we here together? So the reason why these guys were classified as foolish was because the Bible says that they took lamp, but they did not take extra oil. And it described the other guys as wise because they took their lamp and they had enough sense to know that lamps can burn out. And if we are eventually delayed till midnight, we need something that will keep us all through the night before the bridegroom will show up. Because they know that if the bridegroom shows up at this, so they took extra oil that will last them a whole night. Peradventure, it does not come. We all can go and buy in the day because they know they don't buy at night. And if anybody opens the door for you to buy at night, chances are that it will be more expensive, true or false. Chances are that by going out to buy at night, you might eventually come back hurt, maimed, wounded, you might be robbed. Many things can happen at night. So these guys were wise. These ladies, young ladies, were wise enough to know that we are ladies. We cannot go out at night and start looking for all these kind of things. And we're expecting our husband, if he is very important to us and what we're doing is important, then we should have taken extra oil with us. Many people in life do not realize the need to always think an extra step forward. They just think for where they are. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Many people are not thinking of what their lives will look like in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. If they start thinking from now, the decisions they are making today will shift. They will be more careful. They will be more cautious. wisdom is profitable to direct. If certain people think critically about the way they are living their lives now, the actions that they are taking, and understand that life, I went to preach somewhere on Sunday, and I was talking about seed time and harvest, and I preached about that here before, and understand that everything you are doing now is a seed that will eventually become a harvest, you will critically analyze your seed. Because where you are now is a seed, and where you are is also what? A harvest. What you did yesterday or did not do, what you are, the life you are living today, is a judgment of what you did yesterday or did not do. Judgment does not happen when Jesus comes. Judgment is already happening to us. Every day is judgment. What you failed to do yesterday, and it brings about a consequence today, you are being judged for what you didn't do yesterday. The poor decisions of yesterday that brings you to pain today is a judgment for the mistakes you made yesterday. True or false? It is usually very, one of the things I learned, I don't know why God would have me always speak to people. And whenever I speak to people like that, I just picture. And I always pray in my heart. Usually, older people will understand a little bit of what I'm saying now. Those who have had experience, pain, regrets, they've been through things they want. But you see, sometimes younger people have not seen so much. So they still want to experiment. It's quite unfortunate. Sincerely. The principle of seed time and harvest will be better understood by an older person. But you see, a wise young person does not learn from their experience. They look at the picture of the old and grab their information. They look at the picture of those who have gone ahead and decide for themselves. Five were wise, five were foolish. If we were to draw inference just exactly it is the way it is from scripture here, and we count the number of people who are in church today, maybe 300 or 200, and we say 300, 150 were wise. You know, you don't like to be among the foolish. But I told you that foolishness is not an insult, it's the state of a person's mind. What happens to a young person who is going for an interview in an organization where they are supposed to appear corporate, and he appears with his, you know, uncombed hair, puts on his shirt and a trouser, and pulls the trouser a little bit like this? If he gets there, he's very smart. He knows all the questions they're supposed to ask. But the very fact that they did not even give him opportunity to be heard shows that he's very what? Because he would have asked about the law of protocol and asked, is this how to appear in this environment? If I appear like this in this environment with my scattered hair and no tie, no suit, no, will they accept me? Simple wisdom would have allowed the guy to go and search ahead and ask questions. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Glory to God. So five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. The wise ones took their lamp. The foolish ones took their lamps and they had no extra oil. The wise ones took their lamp and they had extra oil. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessel with them. Let's go ahead now. The Bible now says, but while the bridegroom was delayed. In other words, wise people have taken into consideration delay. What if there is delay? The question. What if it does not go as planned? That means wise people have alternative plans. Foolish people don't have alternative plans. Write it down. I'm already talking. Wise people have alternative plans. Foolish people do not have alternative plans. Wise people discern. Foolish people are undiscerning. You know what it means to discern? You know what it means to discern? What does it mean to discern? Try. Someone just wants to discern. To differentiate. The ability to discern is the ability to know difference. Difference in time, difference in people, difference in the person I should honor and the person I don't have to do anything about. So you come into the house of a person and you need favor from the person, but you did not discern the person to honor them so that they will release their favor. So you entered into the person's house that you need favor for and you did not greet. Discernment. Oh, you probably did not greet all the children in the house, but when you come in front of that person, you will do what? Greet. That is what? wisdom, because you have discerned who to greet and who not to. If I greet these children or not, it doesn't make any difference. True or false? But if I greet this person, it will make a difference. That is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern opportunities. If something is open before you, you ask yourself, this particular opportunity, where will it lead me to? If I make this decision, what will happen? If I don't make this decision, what will happen? And if at the end of the day, you are not discerning enough to know the right decision to make that moment, you eventually find yourself in pain, it means the person is foolish. Why? The person was not discerning. Wisdom is your ability to discern the kind of wife you want to marry, the kind of husband you want to marry. Wisdom is your ability to discern the way you want to train your children. Whether you want to train them to become like fools or train them to become wise. It's wisdom. Discernment. Difference. If I do it like this, it will result in this. If I do it like this, it will result in this. Then I decide to do it. That decision. Wisdom is not in the knowledge. Wisdom is in the decision. Do you get what I just said? Do you know? A lot of people know what to do, but they don't do it. They are twice as foolish. When you know what to do and you do not do it, you are foolish. Times two. Because the person who does not know can be excused and say, oh, he doesn't know about it. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? No, she doesn't know about it. Can be excused. But you know, but you did not do. That's foolishness raised to power. You know, and you say, it is not easy for me to do it. That's another dimension of foolishness. Because the ease of doing it should be determined on the consequences of what will happen if I don't do it. Have I told you before that you should always consider consequences? It is the consequence that tells you whether or not to do something. If I do this, what will happen? If I do not do it, what will happen? Now, you know what will happen if you do it. You know what will happen if you not do it. You now say, because it is not easy for me to do it, even when I know that if I do it, I will live. So I could not do it, therefore I died. Do you understand what I'm saying at all? What I said, does that injustice make sense to you? So, I know what will happen if I continue stealing. I know what will happen if I stop stealing. But I cannot stop stealing. But if I keep stealing, I will die. If I stop stealing, I will live. Then the person now says, I cannot stop stealing. To create the energy to stop itself is wisdom. Then to take action is another dimension of wisdom. But to say that I cannot find the strength to stop means that you automatically settled for death. Because whether we like it or not, the person will end up in death. Now, no matter what it will cost you to stop, would you not do it? Since you know you will live. But this is the generation of them that do not do it. Let's continue. But while the bridegroom did what? Delayed. They all slumbered and did what? So you see, it was not only the five that slept or the five. It means that all of them actually found themselves in a state where they slept. But if the foolish man sleeps and wake up, listen. The foolish man who is sleeping, does not know, is like a person who has not sowed any seed and is expecting harvest. So everybody is gathered in a particular village and they are sowing seeds. In 6 months' time, there will be a harvest. Then everybody is sitting down. You too, you are sitting down. You can't act like the person sitting by your side. You don't know the investment they have made. You can't say because the person sitting by your side is sitting, you will sit. Do you have a right to sit? Has life permitted you to sit? Have you done what you should do that will make you sit? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, because everybody is lying down, therefore I will lie down. No, wait. Let's explain it like this. Five students are preparing for examinations. From the beginning of the semester, six students. From the beginning of the semester, these three, they have been reading, and doing everything they could like that. Now it is 1 week to exam. Then these other three, they have been playing, joking, doing all manner of things, and now it is 1 week to exam. Then 1 week to exam, the three decided that during this exam week, I will not read too much. I will sleep like 5 hours. I'll read 2 hours. then these ones too now said to themselves that, what is the big deal? Me too, I'll sleep like 5 hours, I'll read 2 hours. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's why I'm saying you cannot compare yourself, because you don't know what the other person has done. This person sits down and they are joking. They sit down where they are and they are laughing and they are playing and they are joking and they are classmates. Then sitting down there, this particular guy, the father owns a company and has bought equity for them in the company. In fact, they will hand over the company to them. So whether he passed the exam or not, the father wants a certificate. Just come back home and take. Then all of them sit down together. And this one too is opening teeth. Who has made any investment on your behalf? Who has labored on your behalf? Are you supposed to compare yourself with that person? So every time you see people doing something, don't resort to do exactly what they are doing. Ask yourself, has life permitted me to do it? Can I do this particular thing this person is doing now, where the person is? Considering the fact that you would have considered that this person and where they are standing, me and where I'm standing. Listen, I cannot compare myself with anybody. It is not wisdom to do that, because you can't tell the wealth of investment, you can't tell the opportunities, you can't tell the platforms, you can't tell the things open to them. If you know that those things are not open to you, you need to labor. Why? The Bible says it's better for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. Because this other person is not bearing any yoke. You know why? Somebody bought the yoke for them. Somebody already carried the yoke. So that guy can sit down and relax and just catch fun and all that. Then so another person, nobody is bearing any yoke for you. And you are relaxing. It is easier to bear yoke in the youth. If you carry yoke at old age, you die before your time. Look at your neighbor, say wisdom. Glory to God. Wisdom is profitable to direct. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they what? They slept. Go ahead now. It says, at midnight, a cry was heard. By what time was the cry heard? Why was the cry not heard when they could go and buy that thing easily? In other words, it tells you that you should not conclude that certain things will happen just because you think they will happen. You should have that thought in your mind that peradventure, it does not happen. I met a young guy many years ago when I came to this area at school, and the guy was telling me about how his father had made some investment, blah 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 blah. He was really excited about it. He was just about 200 level. By the time we were 400 level, he came and he was seriously begging me for money, and I was wondering, what's that? What's happening? And he said, can I remember that his father is late? He has been begging his uncle since 400 level to help him. That as he speaks right now, his father did not even tell his mother anything about the business, and people are running it, and he's broke. So what do I do? I don't know what to do again. And I just remember, I said, this is not the boy that was so excited about everything. All of a sudden, just in less than 2 years, 200 to 400, everything has shifted from being the one who has to becoming a beggar. All of a sudden, because he was relying on something and he didn't have a second plan. You know how many people that somebody promised them, the reason they have decided to start doing a particular business was because somebody told them they will patronize them. The day they started the business and borrowed money, the person that promised them died. I'm showing you how life works. This is just the simple way life works. Am I making sense here now? It's not what you pray for anybody. It's not whether it curse or a prayer. No. Life happens. Tell your neighbor, life happens. Yeah. But when the going gets tough, those who have it here, they get going. But those who had nothing up, they'll just get weak. And they get tired. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? That is the difference. That's why wisdom is a dimension of God that you cannot fail to have in your life. Wisdom is an expression of God. Christ has been made unto us wisdom and what? Power. We'll talk about power at different times. We pray, we see the move of God. But there are certain times we sit down and say, let's gather some sense into our heads so that we can move somewhere in life. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There are certain people, as I speak right now, they've already made plans about their lives. They are seeing the next 5 years, the next 6 years, the next 10 years. And they are not just saying, well, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. It's true that God makes ways where there seems to be no way. Am I making sense right now? But God can give you enough sense to guide your path and make a way so that you will not have to disturb him to make a way if he has given you sense for that. There are some things God gives us sense for. There are some things he does with his power. What God knows that you can do, he will not drop down and do it for you, because he has given you sense to do what? Do it. So would God buy oil for these ladies? God would buy oil for them. At midnight, the cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then see what happens here. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamp. That means they came up and they raised the lamp. Let's move. And the foolish said to the wise, at dying minutes is the voice of foolishness that you'll be hearing like this. Give us some of your oil. Like our love, especially wedding. You don't understand. Like, we will not do our wedding, Abby. Like, it's even easier, because the Bible says the bridegrooms. It's just one bridegroom that wants to marry 10 of you. So by the time 5 of you goes, if 5 of you move now, we know how many of us remaining. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? So the wise, look at what the Bible says. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lambs are going out. But the wise answered. Listen, wisdom always has answers. Wisdom always will have answers. Wisdom knows how to answer that addiction. Wisdom knows how to answer that pitfall. Wisdom knows how to answer that area of weakness. Wisdom knows how to answer that thing that is confronting you. Wisdom will always have an answer. Wisdom gave an answer. He says, no. No. Wisdom just spoke straight. He said, no. Why? He says, because there will not be enough for you and I. It's not a matter of compromising. It's not a matter of saying, but you know you are my paddy now. No. That's not it. That is not it. Wisdom is saying that if you had sense enough, you should have gotten your own. Why we're all sitting down? You didn't even ask us. Why are you holding this cake by the side? It's possible that foolishness would have been bragging to wisdom that you are wasting your time. How do you spend extra money to buy oil? You have money, oh. Hey, okay. You have money. But, you know, the way foolish people sound sometimes, they make a wise person feel like you are very foolish. That is the world we are in. Foolish people make wise people feel like they are very daft. That's why you are doing this thing. You are wasting your time. I'm sorry for you. And the wise person sometimes begins to feel foolish. No, you shouldn't. The wise guys answered. They said, no, lest there should not be enough for you and for us. They now told them what to do. Wisdom knows what to do. Just that it is late now. Wisdom says, go out and buy for yourself, because that is what we did for ourselves. We went to buy. We bought. So wisdom said, go out rather now and buy. Go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Then see the next thing. And while they went to buy, so they had the money to buy. Do you understand? They had the money to buy. Why did they not buy? Foolishness. That is the revelation of foolishness. So the Bible says that they now stood up at midnight, meaning that these guys had bought. They had made. That's another thing. That is called investment now. Investment. These ones were saving. These ones were investing. By the time they gathered their savings to go out, time had already passed. And whatever time has passed something, the value will increase. Meaning that chances are that by midnight, these guys will pay higher to get what these guys got at a low price. And that's what I said the other time, that you see a lot of people today, some young people, guys and ladies, somebody is just buying champagne, buying drinks. You know, I told you the other time that they're trying to, I don't know what I was telling, 20 years anniversary. My school, secondary school, was celebrating 20 years anniversary of leaving. And they said they're going to buy soft drinks, 200,000 naira. Alcoholic drinks, 700,000 naira. I will not go. I'll be showing you. He cannot. I've calculated the percentage of my money that will buy the alcohol for the people. So that means I will buy more alcohol for them. They will buy lesser soft for me. So to be foolish is more expensive. To be wise is cheap. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Reconsider your ways. Is it that we just decide and say, everybody come and take us to a buffet, we pay for our food and we eat and go home? I cannot pay for somebody else's foolishness. I don't, my, especially at this, no, when I have excess, I can pay for their foolishness and dash them. But now, I'm not going to pay for nobody's foolishness. I have so many things to cover. I have many things calling on my attention. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Then somebody will say, how much is it? How much is it? Well, that money, if I drop it as an investment, as small as it is, and I leave it for 20 years, you will ask me after that 20 years, by the time your liver and your lungs and your kidneys are packed up, that might be the money I'll give you for surgery. You know, it doesn't sound sweet. It doesn't only sound fair. But wisdom is profitable to do what? Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Are you learning from what I'm saying? Life does not give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you fight for. Life gives you what you work for. It doesn't just happen. Do you get what I'm saying here now? Don't allow anybody fool anybody. We have to come up and be wise. These guys thought that this, they'll just bring the oil and say, take, now you can just... No! For God's sake, whatever the bridegroom has, if we are only 5, when we share it, it will be more. If we are 10, when we share it, it will be lesser. It looks very mean. It's not fair. Have you ever thought to yourself, has life ever been fair? Where you are today, let's ask ourselves questions. Has life ever been fair? Is there anything fair about life? There's nothing fair about life. There's nothing fair about life. The only fair thing about life is to open your eyes and do what is what? Right. Tick, tick the clock. Tick, tick. What you have to do. Don't wait and say it's not fair, it's not fair. Sometimes people just talk many, many things. I told you that those things don't make sense. Don't sound that way. Don't be emotional. Live by principles. Wisdom is the principal thing. Number one. And he says, in all thy gettings, get wisdom, get understanding. He didn't say knowledge. Knowledge is not as important as wisdom. Huh? Because a person can know so much and yet be very foolish. You don't know. I'll show you if time permits. Let's move on. Let's read what happened to those guys. Then I'll close up there. At midnight, the cry came and the bridegroom and said, let's go and meet the bridegroom. Okay, let's move. All those who were virgins arose and trimmed their... Oh, we passed this place. But the wise answered and said, lest there should not be enough for us. Go and rather buy for yourself of those who sell. Huh? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Why did the bridegroom come when they went to buy? Why did the bridegroom not come when they were sleeping? That means life is not... Yeah, it's not fair. And those who were ready went with him to the wedding. Those who were what? Those who were what? Those who were what? So you need to ask yourself, are you ready for a life of victory? Are you ready for a life of success? Are you ready for a life of winning? Are you ready for a life that is triumphant? Ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready? Because only those who are ready will get in. Only those who are ready will get in. And what makes you ready? How did these guys become ready? What made them ready? They anticipated the future. They checked and they considered the future. That was what made them ready. That was the readiness of their life was in the definition of their ability to foresee the future. They must have checked and asked themselves, what if this guy doesn't come on time? Man, let's take extra oil. And this one said, who said he will not come on time? Well, what if, well, let's just do it like that. Now, if he comes on time, those who took extra oil, would they lose anything? After the program, they can come back, sell the oil, is that not? So they will not lose anything. But if it does not come on time, those who did not take, they will lose everything. Brothers and sisters, always ask yourself, whenever you're about to make decisions, ask in two directions. If I make this decision, will I lose anything? If I don't make decision, what will happen? I was teaching school of ministry. I was talking about the foundation of my doctrines and the things that I teach from God's word. I think school of ministry 1. And I try to explain to them that the basis of my own perspectives in Bible doctrine is the standpoint from which if I teach what I have thought, last, the way I have thought it, my people will not lose. Because if somebody teaches what they have thought, last, the way their people lived it, if they did not give them the right things to do, they will lose. Now, I'll give you an example. If I come here and I start teaching you in church, and I say, you know, the Bible says that God's grace has covered everything for you. Just do what you do. Like, feel free. And all of you start feeling free. I say, you know, that pastor told us that the grace of God has covered everything for us. We can just keep sinning and just live anyhow and just be fine. God's grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now, that's a message that is very common, is that not? It's popular everywhere in town. But the problem is this. If those people buy into that kind of message and they start living that life, peradventure, because the Bible teaches two perspectives on that, peradventure, they now get to the point where they thought that grace much more abound. And God now says to them that, that is not the definition. Paul said, shall we continue seeing that grace should do what? About, are you not sensitive? I'm sorry, you have lost. But if I stand on this side and I teach, and I say, please don't do that. I know you have freedom to do whatever I want to do, but don't use your freedom as occasion to do whatever you do. And they choose to listen to what I've said. When we get face to face before God, we will not lose. Because the only thing you will get there is you discover that you entered heaven and realize that, there are many things that these guys thought they enjoyed. Am I making sense now? In the world of how many years? Am I making sense now? But I am here. Then these ones now did not enter heaven. They now say, where is that pastor that taught us to enjoy this thing? Where can we find him? Five were wise and five were foolish. So every time I have to teach, I always come to that standpoint and I ask myself questions. At the end of the day, if the people I teach do the things that I have said, what will happen? If they do not do it the way I have said, what will happen? Then if I teach on this other side and they do it just like that, what will happen? I will lose, because all my work will be counted for loss. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? The Bible says, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was what? Shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, it is too late. Did you guys come for the wedding? Are you sure that it is me you came for? In other words, the guy is saying, you did not come for me. Why? They were what? Foolish. Look at your neighbor. Say, five were wise and five were foolish. Tell the person by your side, foolishness is costly. Tell the person, foolishness is very costly. Now look at the foolishness of those guys. You know what it cost them? They have lost their husband. They have lost opportunity to be married. They did not attend the party. And at the end of the day, they will go empty-handed and tell their family members that in their foolishness, they did not buy oil. They got there and they were not accepted. Then look at the wise ones. They just because they made that small investment of getting extra oil, they eventually were chosen. They were married. They were accepted. They have disconnected permanently from the foolish. One day, wise people will be disconnected permanently from the foolish. The wise, the fool will always beg the wise. The fool will always come back looking for the wise. And the difference will be clear. The difference will always be what? Calm down. Take it carefully. Just find a way to manage yourself and just cope with, listen when your husband is talking. Listen. He said, no, don't tell me that. If you tell me that, I'm going to scatter everything. I'm going to scatter. By the time everything scatters, 1 year and 6 months after, the husband has married again. Pastor, are you saying we should stay in the abusive? I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that if it is in your position to do the right thing, do it. So that you don't get everything messed up. And count your costs and weigh the consequences before you make your decisions. The same thing can happen to a man. And I say, treat your woman very well. He said, no, don't tell me that. By the time he leaves that one, he marries another one. And that one he marries cannot even take the nonsense for one day. And by the time he woke up the next morning, knife was already on his chest. He would have preferred that one. Am I making sense here? So what is wisdom? Let's write now. Wisdom is the ability to recognize difference. Difference in opportunities. The five virgins did not know the difference in the opportunity they had to marry. They did not know. They were not smart enough to know the difference in the opportunity. They took that opportunity, marriage. They took marriage as any other thing. they just took it like it doesn't matter. It's, no. There are certain things you must pay attention to. There are certain things you must give careful thought to. These guys gave careful thought. And that's why they consider they start the meeting with the bridegroom as a very important ceremony. They saw it as something you need to pay attention to, handle it carefully. These other guys didn't see it that way. Because if they had seen it that way, they would have done the right thing. Wisdom is your ability to spot, ability to recognize difference in people, difference in places, difference in opportunities, difference in value, difference in who should be honored and who you can look at and just walk away. There are certain people you look at, walk away, and you get on with it. There are certain people you look at them, walk away, you will never get on with it. You will never. You will never. You will never. It takes wisdom to say, these ones, don't do like that. This one, well, if you do it, you might get on with it. Do you ask those kind of questions whenever we're making decisions? Do we ask those kind of questions? Do we really take time to ask those kind of questions? Because if we do not, we'll be playing with the most important things in our lives. Now, let me give you a spiritual definition of wisdom. More spiritual, more in-depth definition of wisdom. Spiritual. Proverbs. Let's look at it together. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. What does it say there? Okay, that's not even where I want to read, but let me start. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs. Please help me check out. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Considered how your life will end? Have you considered the consequence of being poor? Have you considered the consequence of not accepting Jesus as Lord into your heart? Have you considered the consequence of living a shallow Christian life as against pressing for the higher life? Have you considered? The Bible says in Proverbs 9, even that first one is fine, same thing. Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, the fear here now is reverential awe, not like you're afraid and running. Mm-mm. That reverence, to reverence God, to honor God, to honor His word, His ways. He says that is the starting point of what? Wisdom. He says to now make extra efforts to know the Holy One. You have understanding. Because it's a graduation from knowledge to wisdom. Then to what? Knowledge is to know. Knowledge will not pay you any single dime if you do not act on it. It is just awareness. Knowledge is to know. What gives you money? What gives you life? What helps you come out of critical situation is what you do with what you know. True or false? So wisdom comes with the doing part of everything. The doing part. Wisdom will always do. If you carry the W-I-S and the M out of it, is what? Do. Wisdom is to do. Wisdom comes with action. the ability to take action based on what you have known. And I said understanding is the ability to do what? To replicate the results of wisdom. To do it again, to do it again, to do it again, to do it again. Then it begins to take you higher. Then you can confidently say the path of the just is now a burning light. It shines what? Brighter and brighter. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we can say wisdom is seeing things from God's viewpoint or from God's perspective and responding to God's viewpoint based on His word. It is not about how you feel. It is not what you like. It is about what God says. It is not about how you feel. It is not about how you like it. It is about what God says. That's wisdom. The ability to look at something from God's perspective. Why will I look at it from God's perspective? He that keeps company with the wise will become what? Wise. And the Bible says that He is the only wise God. Hey, are we here together? The Bible says to Him, the only wise. That means all other gods, Shango, Batala, Oyaya, anything their names are called, they are all foolish. Your forefathers were serving foolishness. Christ has been made unto us wisdom and power. So the Bible describing Him says to the only wise God. He now says, He that walks with the wise. Look, okay, okay. He says to the only wise God, our Savior. To the only wise God. Somebody say, only wise God. In other words, God is saying that any other place, any other person that claims wisdom, never, they cannot. I am the only wise. And whoever walks with the wise will become what? Wise. He said, but the companion of fools shall be what? Whoever chooses foolishness and folly, and those who walk in foolishness shall be what? Destroyed. We will not be destroyed. God will give us strength to walk with Him. God will teach us His ways. He will show us the path of the ancient. He will show us the way that never grows old. The same path, but it can lead us to life every time. May God lead our hearts to it. May He help us to yield to it. In the name of Jesus. Wisdom is seeing things from God's viewpoint and responding to God's viewpoint based on His word. It is not about how I feel. It is not about what I like. It's about what God says. Write it down. Write it down. Our world is full of knowledgeable people. People with knowledge everywhere. We do not lack knowledge. Knowledge problem. The 21st century doesn't have knowledge problem. I hope you know that. YouTube is full of what? Knowledge. Like encyclopedia on your phone. Those days, for you to have encyclopedia, you have to carry a laptop. Am I making sense here right now? You have to carry a big laptop, a desktop. Then from desktop, laptop. From laptop, palm top. From palm top, smartphones. So encyclopedia is right there. Tobagbon to the geogbon sowo. Ogbon is in your hand. Ogbon is not in your brain. You will need to take all the ogbon from that phone and add to your head. It is not by pressing the phone. The pressing of the phone does not make you wise. Applying the things you see will make you wise. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Do you know that today people are dying? What is killing them is in their, the solution is right in their hands. Hold your phone. Hold your phone. Hold it like this. The number one source of wisdom, Bible, is there. They don't read it. It is part of the apps that the phone has advised them to delete. Apps suggested apps to freeze. King James Version, Holy Bible. They are suggesting app to freeze. And the most frequently used app, WhatsApp. Instagram. TikTok. YouTube. Snapchat. Hey! App to freeze. Bible. Dictionary. All the books on your phone. Expired. That will never be our portion. We will not be a generation that is exposed to knowledge yet live in foolishness. I say we will not be that generation. God will give us the wisdom of the wise. He will put in us the need, the desire, the hunger to press for knowledge in the name of Jesus. This is what the Bible says there. Very, very clear. He that keeps company with the wise will be wise, but the company of fools will be what? Destroyed. According to James chapter 3 from verse 5 to 17, we have four kinds of wisdom. I'm going to show those four kinds and I'll show you four divisions. Then we'll start wrapping up gradually on how to acquire wisdom. Are you ready now? The first one, look at it. James chapter 3, 15 to 17. He said, this wisdom, can we read it together? I want to go now. This wisdom does not come from above. It is earthly. There's a wisdom that is what? Earthly. Then the next one, what? Sensual. Then the next one, what? Demonic. Self-seeking. Confusion. And every evil thing there is. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then peaceable. Then gentle. Then willing to submit. Then full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So four kinds of wisdom we can spot there. The first one is what? The first one is what? Earthly wisdom. The second one is what? Sensual wisdom. The third one is what? Demonic wisdom. The fourth one is what? Wisdom from above. What is earthly wisdom? This is common natural sense. When a child is born, the child does not put the mother's breast in the eyes. As ignorant as the child is, newborn, natural instincts, the child opens the mouth. When you put the breast before the mouth of the child opens the mouth. The child does not put the eye there like this. That's natural wisdom. It's common sense. Sense that comes with natural affinity, just naturally. For instance, when you were coming to this church, did you walk like this to the church? Is that how you came here? You must have joined Amadioha if you came in here like that. When you were coming to this church, did you come like this? Did you do that? Except there is a deformity. I'm not making sense here now. But naturally speaking, that's walk on your two legs. Are we here together? Except something has gone wrong somewhere. That's just the only way that can happen. But aside from that, you know that it is natural for any person to just walk with two heads. Am I making sense here now? It is natural. Somebody say it is natural. Yes. So natural wisdom. This is earthly wisdom rather. This is earthly wisdom. It is common sense. Just there. It's natural. The second one is intellectual wisdom. This is the wisdom that you acquire through exposure to book, learning, apprenticeship. Are we here together? This is natural wisdom. Academics, students go to school. People go to business places to learn a particular trade. You want to get better at something, you learn. Yes, this is wisdom that exposes the mind to how life works. The laws of aerodynamics, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of flotation, all these things are intellectual. Are we here together? You know that whatever goes up will do what? Come down. So you go up on a two-story building. And you say, whatever goes up does not come down. It is foolishness of Isaac Newton. How can that man be so foolish to say that? Jesus went up. Even Jesus is coming back again. Even Jesus. Sir, even at the rapture, when the saints are raptured, they will come back. Whatever goes up. It's simple. Very simple. Are we here together? It's very simple. It's a principle. Law of flotation. It's there. It helps the ship to stay on the water. Are we here together now? And as soon as the law is defiled, you begin to put water into the ship or something like water gets into it. The ship begins to do what? It is a law. that we have gotten the wisdom through intellectual learning. We have learned, we have exposed our minds, and now we have known it. I won't show you this because I'm going to show you the higher dimension of wisdom so that you can hold. Then there's what we call the devilish wisdom, demonic wisdom. Somebody say demonic wisdom. It's very common. You know, we talked about the mind last week. And I said one of the ways Satan suggests things into the mind. Demonic wisdoms, they are simply satanic suggestions. Don't forgive. Demonic wisdom. Revenge. Demonic wisdom. Magba, magba, shagidi. You saw what the Bible says. Go back. Look at what it says about... this wisdom does not resemble above, but it's earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. Then look at how it describes it. Go, continue. It says, for where there is what? Demonic wisdom. Self-seeking. Demonic wisdom. Confusion. Demonic wisdom. Every evil thing, they are there. Kill your neighbor. Demonic wisdom. You know that there is a law that allows people who have risen to a certain political level by the assistance of somebody else who knows their secret of how they rose. And there is a law of power that says if you really want to enjoy power after the person has helped you, you should do what? Kill the person. Okay. I went to the market many years back to buy a book that this is close to about 17 years or 18 years ago. And I bought the 48 Laws of Power. I thought it was a simple, normal, just read and find. By the time I started reading the principles, I said, no. If you apply some of these things in a normal sense, it will be wickedness. I read a particular book, How to Organize a Coup Successfully. How do you think people organize coup? And guess who wrote the book? The person who wrote the book had organized coup in his nation. And when he tried to organize the coup, he failed. Because I had to start searching. Then he got to know what made him fail. Then he corrected it in the book. And say, if you do this, because just imagine that the person that made you fail was somebody that as you get to that point, you're supposed to kill the person and move. Then he didn't do it. So he had yielded to his emotion instead of his satanic principle. So he now knew that if you want to succeed, if that person goes, you'll be fine. That wisdom is satanic. Kill, fight, destroy, don't forgive, revenge, do whatever you like. For don't listen to what God is saying. Act the way you want. That is satanic. As we sit here like this, I asked you last week, I said, who's suggesting what you're doing? Who's telling you to do what you're doing? Who's controlling? Because indirectly, some of us are already subscribing. You know, there's a YouTube channel, Satanic YouTube. And there are many subscribers. Every time you yield to what Satan is saying to do, you have subscribed to Satan's channel. And if you stay long on that channel, you know what happens when you are subscribed to a particular channel? When a new video comes. When a new video comes. When a new video comes. The day you unsubscribe, you will stop seeing it. When you go home, unsubscribe. From now, unsubscribe. I will not revenge again. I will not lie again. I will not do that again. And what you're doing like that, you are unsubscribing. Because if you keep your subscription, every new thing will be suggested. And chances are that you will be buying it. And the more you buy it, the weaker your life. The more you buy it, all your life will just go down. Our lives will never be like that in the name of Jesus. Then the last one is wisdom from above, godly wisdom. This wisdom is the insight that comes from God and His Word. It reveals God's perspectives on how to do things. It reveals God's perspective on how to do this. It says the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. And I told you how to think last week, Philippians 4, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are praiseworthy. Now, then it says it's what? Peaceable. In other words, the wisdom from God will say, make peace. Avoid the quarrel. Settle it. Make peace. That's what the wisdom of God will always say. The next thing is what? Gentle. Stop acting like that. Calm down. Calm down. That's the wisdom of God. That's anytime you start doing like this, just like you are buying, you are subscribing. You are giving data, satanic data. Willing to do what? Yield. That means willing to submit. Anytime you are disloyal and stubborn and do, I will do my way. That is satanic wisdom. It's Absalom wisdom. It's Judas wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? And it is satanic. It will destroy the person. The Bible says, full of what? Mercy. In other words, let go. The wisdom of God will say what? Let go. The wisdom of God will say, forgive. The wisdom of God says, you don't have to hold that. Mercy. Good fruits. Of course, you can tell what many other good fruits will be. Yes. Then without partiality, that means the wisdom of God doesn't show favoritism. It does not stay in the position of saying, I will be partial. Never. That's not the wisdom of God. And without hypocrisy. That means the wisdom of God is not a hypocritical wisdom that says A and will do B behind. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Am I communicating? Then in division, it is very similar. It is very similar, but it can be divided. Natural wisdom, just similar to earthly wisdom. It is to understand how life works. The general principles that God has put in place of how life works. It is not about how too much of knowledge you have. It is about the application. Now, when it comes to natural wisdom, somebody can have a very high IQ and have a very high grade in school and be poor in life. As for the four boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says God gave them wisdom in book and in life. In other words, there is a wisdom that is book. There is another wisdom that is life. So you can have wisdom of book and not have wisdom of what? Life. That is the reason why it is possible for somebody to be intellectually sound but financially bankrupt. You will pray after this meeting and say, God, I need well-rounded wisdom. Complete wisdom. Complete wisdom. Complete wisdom. Do you know that a person can find themselves in this position and they will be operating? It is not by the IQ you have. It's what are you doing with what you are learning? What are you doing with the things that you have found? You have found truth. What are you doing with it? If you're not doing anything with it, you end up just in the same pit with the person that has not found it at all. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? In fact, let me not say it. Are we here together? Are we ready to move on? Number two, I said the wisdom of God can be confined to five divisions. I've given you four, is that not? But five divisions, natural wisdom. The next one is moral wisdom. It can be moral in nature. That means wisdom has to do with conduct and morality. It has to do with our choices as regards our moral behavior as to what is right and what is wrong. So somebody can have wisdom that has helped the person acquire wealth, but the person has moral bankruptcy. So he has a lot of money, but he's investing the money in just moral, behaving immoral. Maybe just going everywhere, carrying women and doing everything with money. At the end of the day, contracts disease and dies. Is that wisdom? But he had intellectual wisdom that gave him what? Money. But he did not have moral wisdom. See, you must get these five dimensions of wisdom. This first dimension of wisdom is the wisdom that is practical. The things I have seen, I know how to apply. The second one is moral wisdom. That means I know what is right and what is wrong, and I find strength to do what is right. Somebody can be very wealthy and start taking something that they are drinking or smoking that will not allow them to live long enough to enjoy their wealth. Is there wisdom in that? So they made the money. Then the money made them foolish. Do you realize there was a point in Solomon's life that Solomon was very wealthy, but morally he had become very foolish? 700 and 300 concubines. Is that wisdom? If Solomon decides to sleep with his wife one a day, it will take him 3 years plus, 3 years, to finish sleeping with all his wives once a day, one a day, one a day. Ask Solomon the last time he saw the concubine, the 735th concubine. Ask him the last time he saw her. Then one day Solomon came and said, this is foolishness. He said, I have seen under the sun that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's a meaningless life. Solomon's life became what? Meaningless. Your own life will not be meaningless. My own is not meaningless. Solomon's own was meaningless because he did not have sense enough in moral wisdom. He had sense of structure and administration. He was able to build a system that was providing wealth, but Solomon did not have sense to guide his morality. He was just misbehaving. At the point, he said, I had for myself manservants, women servants, players of instruments. He just talked plenty. Don't you know that it's not everything in the book of Songs of Solomon that you can follow? It's not everything that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that you can follow. Because there are many things Solomon said in Ecclesiastes at the height of his foolishness. God wrote it so that we can see the foolishness of a man that he gave wisdom that disregarded it. God gave Solomon wisdom so that no other person on the face of the earth would be like him. And Solomon told us that when he was young and beloved of his father taught him wisdom. His father gave him everything. But did he follow everything that was given to him? That's number two. Number three. The wisdom can be practical. Somebody say practical. It has to do with the ability to solve problems. Joseph had that kind of wisdom in the land of Egypt. Joseph solved problems and he became very wealthy. And Pharaoh did not suffer because of Joseph. Can I ask you a question? What problem are you solving? Have you asked yourself what problem you were created to solve? If you do not solve any problem in this world, you will be a problem. If you're not solving the problem, you'll be a problem. And somebody will solve you. What problem? Have you asked yourself, what problem am I solving? What problem am I created to solve? What am I really doing here? Are you adding to the problem or you're solving the problem? Because if you're adding to the problem, you will be a problem and somebody will come to solve the problem. For instance, if somebody is beginning to live a funny, terrible life doing drugs and somebody's solution is to help people that are doing drugs, he will be a problem that somebody wants to solve. Somebody's solution is to get people out of prostitution and somebody's adding to prostitution, you will be a problem that somebody wants to do what? Solve. Are you a problem solver? Or a problem waiting to be solved? Wisdom. Look at your neighbor. Say wisdom. Practical wisdom. Joseph displayed it. Daniel displayed it. It is not wisdom that knows what is wrong. Now, if you know what is wrong with you. Wait. Let's put it this way. If you stand before a doctor, what's wrong with you? Does the doctor know what's wrong with you? You know what's wrong with you. But do you know how to do about what's wrong with you? Does the doctor know what to do about what's wrong with you? So that you know what is wrong with you doesn't mean you are wise. What's wrong with you? I feel headache. I feel dizzy. Okay. If the doctor says go back home, what will happen to you? That's like death. But the doctor, through intellectual wisdom, has studied the signs and the symptoms and is able to diagnose and prefer solution. So you came with a problem. You know what your problem is, but you don't have the solution. Then the doctor says, this is the solution to your problem. Then he's able to solve your problem. Am I making sense here right now? Because he has studied something that has given him the ability to solve. What problem are you solving? Because life is full of people everywhere that have problems and waiting to be solved. I want us to wake up and open our minds and stop living just a very shallow, ordinary life. You must be solving problems. Do you know that people go on YouTube today and all they are doing to get followership and everything is how to. YouTube is full of what? How to. If you discover one how to and you follow it tenaciously and you break all the steps of the how to, very soon you too, you get plenty followers because there are always people looking for how to. This thing I just said is a gold mine for somebody who's wise. How to, if it is just hair, how to braid your hair, barber style. How to make your hair, not to da-da-da. How to hair, everything about hair, how to. You will see 500,000 ladies all over the world that are looking for the how to of that thing to help their lives. And when they subscribe and they succeed to watch, if we are patient enough to grow it, what do you know how to do? How to. Go and look for your how to. If you're going to teach the world something, how to do something, what will you teach? If you're going to show something, how to, what will you teach? What will you show? That's where your money is. That's where your wealth is. That's the wisdom that God has given to you that you're not doing anything about. Am I communicating tonight? Making any sense to anyone here? The wisdom can be practical. So like I said, wisdom reveals itself in the action to be taken. How to come out of that thing is where wisdom is, not the thing itself. Then wisdom can be governmental. It has to do with fairness, justice, ability to lead, good judgment, sound reasoning. Daniel had that kind of wisdom in the land of Babylon. And Daniel was distinguished. He stood out. Then the final one is wisdom can be spiritual in nature, which is the fear of the Lord, knowing God, respecting his laws and rules. What does God say about sowing and reaping? If you know it and you do it, you are wise. What does God's word say about marriage? If you know it and you do it, you are wise. What does God's word say about home management? If you know it, you do it, you're wise. What does God's word say about honor? If you know it, you do it, you're wise. What does the word of God say about favor? If you know it, you do it, you're wise. What does the word of God say about sexuality? If you know it, you abide it, you obey it, you are wise. So you are literally following the only wise God, following his perspectives. God says that he views you as a wise man. Then David was trying to unravel the dimension of wisdom in Psalm 100. He now said, I have more understanding. Psalm 119, put it on screen. Psalm 119 verse 98. Psalm 119, 98. Let's go from Psalm 198. Please look at this. Is it possible? What's happening? He said, through your commandments, made me what? Than my... In other words, my enemies are always with me. But I'll just follow your word. Commandments. And every time I follow your commandments, it shows that I am 5 steps ahead of my enemies. Every time I follow your word, it shows that I am 3 steps ahead of my enemies. Then look at what he says there. Next one, verse 99. Look at, I have more, did he say more knowledge? Did you hear him saying about knowledge here? Knowledge is beautiful, but as much as you accumulate, what are you doing with it? He says, I have more understanding than all my word. Why? Your testimonies are my... In other words, every time I sit down, I meditate. When my teachers have given me whatever they have given to me, I take your testimonies and put it in the lens of what my teachers have said and ask to know whether my teachers are right or wrong. Because you are right and you cannot be faulted. He says, because of that, when I come out, my teachers will be asking me, where did you get your own from? I have more understanding than my teachers. Why? For your testimonies are my what? Meditation. Then go next day now. Next one. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your... So any ancient, any person who is old and does not keep the precept of God is an old fool. David is saying, I am young, but now I understand more than the ancients. How? He said, because I have partnered with the Ancient of Days. I cannot partner with the Ancient of Days in wisdom and not have the wisdom to run my life. I don't know who you are partnering with. I don't know who you are working with. I don't know who you are listening to. I don't know if somebody on Instagram is turning your head or somebody on YouTube is turning your head against the word of God. And you are asking and questioning and saying, maybe a mortal compared to God? Who's leading you? Who's instructing you? Who's guiding you? Who's teaching you? Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So David said, this is how my life has become. I think the next one is anything that, let me see again now. The next one. I have restrained my feet from evil ways that I may do what? Keep your word. So child of God, get this right. Concerning Jesus, the Bible says that he spoke one day in Mark chapter 6 and they said, what kind of wisdom? Mark chapter 6 verse 1 to 2. Look at what they said about Jesus. Look at what he said about him. Mark chapter 6. He says, then he went out from there and came to his own country. And disciples followed him. Then see what happened there now. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were what? Astonished. What were they saying? Where did this man get this thing? And what wisdom is this? Which is given to that such mighty works are performed by his. So wisdom is not known by what it knows. Wisdom is known by his works. It is the works that endorses wisdom. It's the works that certifies that you are wise. Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? They were asking, what kind of man is this? Who gave him all this? And remember, Jesus was just displaying the wisdom of who? God. And in displaying the wisdom of God, the Bible says the Pharisees, the scribes, all of them sat down and they were saying, we have never heard anybody like this. In other words, if you display the word of God, if you practice the word of God, if you hold the word of God in high esteem and you put it to work, what it says about honor, what it says about love, what it says about life, what it says about everything that the word of God says in spiritual dimension, you hold it in high esteem, you'll be wiser. People will be wondering where you got that wisdom from. People be asking, why is he sounding like that? Why is he, how is it that this person is so full? Why? Because the word of God has become my meditation. The word of God has become what I eat all day long. It's what I ponder on. Whenever there's a problem in life, I ask myself, what does God say? If I have to apply things based on what God has said, then I will never make mistakes. Why? Because he that walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, who are you following? Who's making your decisions for you? Finally, how do I get this wisdom? How do I acquire wisdom? Are you ready tonight? This is the groundbreaking part I'm just going to show us. Number one, how do I acquire wisdom? Daniel chapter 5 verse 11. Let me show us this. Daniel 5 11. How do I acquire wisdom? It says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the Holy God, in whom is the spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. In other words, Daniel was given a position as a result of the level of wisdom he was operating, more than the natural wisdom, more than the demonic. Magician is demonic wisdom. Astrology is natural wisdom, stargazing. The Chaldeans and the soothsayers, all the witchcrafts. Daniel was in the land of Babylon. He was competing with witches, babalawos. And whenever Daniel talked, the babalawos would keep their head down. Because Daniel was operating what kind of wisdom? The wisdom of God. So how do I acquire wisdom? Number one source of spiritual wisdom, write it down, the word of God. The word of God is the number one source of spiritual wisdom. I'll rush this thing before I just speak it out. I will not take so much of time. Now, you listen to the word of God. How do I get this word of God? Number one, listening to the Holy Spirit. Anytime the Holy Spirit speaks, he's speaking the wisdom of God. Anytime you say, and I heard that spirit in my heart, to follow it. Follow that spirit in your heart. That Holy Spirit, follow him. Or else you end up in destruction. Following the ways of the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And they are the ones who are wise. So you are studying the word of God, which is the first foundation, the Bible. And everything you are seeing there, you are applying to your life. You are seeing the principles of God about what it says. And you are not saying that we're in the 21st century. Homosexuality is okay now. We're in the 21st century. Is that what the Bible says? Does it mean that you should hate any homosexual? No. But does it mean you should practice? No. What are you supposed to do? Help them. Show them the wisdom of God. So that peradventure, as you're loving up on them, showing them, they can see. But that love upon them, be careful. I didn't say that. Did you hear that? Number two, sound Bible teaching. Sound Bible teaching on God's perspectives and principles. Sound Bible teaching on God's perspective and principles will make you wise. The Bible says God gave them teachers after his own heart, wise teachers that are able to teach them wisdom. If you want to get wisdom, you must sit under the school of the Spirit. You must sit under teachings like this. The more you sit under teachings like this, the better you know. The more, can't you see that every time you just appear in service and you listen to the word of God, you go with something. Something is added to your life. Something is added to your life. That's the wisdom. That's how you accumulate wisdom. You hear something and say, I will not do this again. You hear something and say, this is what I will start doing now. You hear something and say, oh, it's so disturbed. Because every time the word of God is revealed, unraveled, if you listen, if you yield, if you agree, it will make your life better. But sir, ma, if you disregard the word of God, one day you will know that disregarding the word of God is dishonoring God. And he says, whoever honors me, I will honor. Those that dishonor me, I will lightly esteem them. Nobody will ever disregard the word of God and enjoy honor. Never. Never. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Yes. Number three, prayer. Under spiritual wisdom, prayer. And how does prayer bring wisdom? Prayer births divine direction and gives divine guidance. And when you are following the ways of God, you are wise. Prayer births divine wisdom by giving us divine guidance. So when I'm praying, God speaks to my heart. He tells me what to do. Are we here together now? The Bible says that Daniel went to pray. And when Daniel went to pray, God revealed to Daniel the dream of the king. And because of that, they saw Daniel as a wise man. Who revealed it? God. In the place of what? Prayer. Daniel said, I set myself to pray. And he was praying and fasting. And while he was praying and fasting, the Bible says that what was being kept secret, hidden, for how many years, as he began to study initially, is that not? The word of God started studying. Then from studying, he entered prayer. From prayer, the wisdom of God was revealed in his life. Prayer. Number three, spiritual books. Books written by men who have gleaned from the wisdom of God. Books written by men and women who have gleaned from the wisdom of God. Books written by men and women who have gleaned from the wisdom of God. Then intellectual wisdom. You get back to books again. Academics. Trainings. Seminars. Videos that reveal how to. You learn from the biography of people, their life experience. Intellectual wisdom. Classroom. You understand the laws of physics, chemistry. You understand the laws of economics. You understand things about geography, biology. You understand how life works. The only way you can get that is through learning. If you are not learning, you will not get it. Don't run away from wisdom. You have to pursue it. Anything you want to know in life, you learn it, true or false. And when you learn it, you know it. You become a wise person. You are not wise because you are just walking around. You are wise because you are learning something from a source. I said it the other day. How many of us, you realize that you just pick a book and you read the book. After reading the book, you are walking chest high. You know, you just read a book on leadership. So pastor just came to me and said, we're going to talk about leadership. You'll be among those that raise your head like this. Because you feel you know something. Am I making sense here now? And if you have read 10 to 15 books on leadership, you can practically predict what any person on leadership is going to be saying. It doesn't mean that you are wise to stand up and say, I've heard it. It means you are wise to ask yourself, these things I've heard, I have learned, am I doing it? It is not the hearers that are blessed. It is what? So, intellectual wisdom through books, academic books, trainings, seminars, conferences. That's number three, is that not? How to acquire wisdom. Number four, mentorship. Timothy mentored by Paul. Serving a wise person will make you wise. Serving a leader that is going somewhere, achieving something will make you wise. You learn by observation and you put to practice their methods. What you have observed, the way they do things, the way they solve problems, how you have seen them go through challenges and they came through. Then you say, this is what this person did. I will do the same thing and you will get the same results. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I'm showing you wisdom. That's how to get wisdom. Number four, experience. Experience is not the best teacher. Especially when it is not your experience. Oh, experience is the best teacher when it's not your experience. When it's your experience, you may not live to practice the thing. Another person will see it and learn. Did you get what I just said? Don't always desire to learn from experience. Some people say, leave it, let me do it, let me do it. If I fail, I fail. Let me have my experience. There are two ways, practical ways to learn when it comes to experience. You either learn from your mistakes or from your mentors. What your mentor struggled with and it crossed over, it is foolishness if you struggle with the same thing. It is common wisdom to ask how. I don't have to fall into the same pit you fell into. Sir, how? Ma, how? And the person will open up a wealth of experience and share with you how they struggled with certain things and how they came out. Then, I told you, it's not what you have known from them that will help you. It's what you do with what you have gotten from them. Say, that woman told me that this is what she did to avoid this thing. So, I am learning from experience, is that not? But not my... may you not learn everything by your own experience. So. If you learn everything by your own experience, your life will be slow to drag. It will drag. But if you learn from the experience of other people, your life will be faster. Because what took them 15 years to learn, you can learn it in 1 year, in 6 months, in one meeting, in one discussion. May God give us insight. May God give us understanding. In the name of Jesus. Then the final unlocking of wisdom. What unlocks wisdom? In any of the dimensions that I have mentioned today, sir, listen to me. In all the dimensions I have said today, I've mentioned today, what really unlocks wisdom? Write it down. It's meditation. Meditation is the way of those who glean from wisdom. They take time and they ask questions. The ability to think and rethink. The ability to ponder. Careful thoughts to find solution. Meditation requires time. It is the point where consequences will be considered. Actions will be weighed. If I do it like this, what's the result? If I don't do it like this, what happens? If I take this step, what will be the outcome? If I change it like this, what will happen? Meditation. Meditation. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. You shall read it day and night. You shall do what? Meditate. What brings about the reality of God's word is not reading, it's meditation. The last time you read the textbook in class, you did not understand it. The next time you sat down and read it 3 times and you started checking other textbooks to know why they said that thing, you started understanding it. That's meditation. People fail because they just read, they don't meditate. People fail because they look, they don't observe. People fail because they see things, they don't question. Meditation is the ability to question. Isaac Newton sat down and he questioned, why would it fall down? Why would this mango drop from the tree and fall down? What's making it fall? What's behind nature? What is that thing? Then he began to think and meditate. And like other scientists before him, he started asking himself questions. Then the law of gravity started showing up. Michael Faraday in electrolysis started thinking and asking, why is it like this? Why is it that molecules are excited? What brings about the excitation? When heat is put there, why are they excited? When they are put in a frozen condition, why do they freeze? They start asking and getting questions. They become men of wisdom because they started meditating. It is meditation that is the secret, and that's one of the things that is lost in this generation. See how fast they have lied to us that we have low attention span. It's a lie. Don't let anybody deceive you. You don't have short attention span. If you have short attention span, your life will be short. Safe. You cannot go far. Say, that's true. No, it's a lie. Short attention span, you will never get much. That's why they have lied to us. So people just want to come to church and spend 15 minutes and run. Carry the Bible, run away. They will not get anything. Go and check the people who wrote the things we are reading. They sat 6 hours, 8 hours, 7 hours. It takes me 8 hours to prepare one concrete message, minimum. And I'll preach it for 20 minutes. And you think that you will just get it like that. You will have to go back to it. No matter how broken down it is, all of us are at different levels. We will need to go back and check. He says the Berean Christians were more noble. Why? He said what Paul taught them, they went back. They went back. Then when it's question time, they will raise their hand. And when they ask a question, Paul will say, Kai, you have seen something. There are times people ask questions. Immediately ask a question, I smile. I tell myself, this was the same question I asked when I first read this thing. Inquiries. Always inquire. Why is this fan blowing like this? Why is it that fan always blows? Is it clockwise or anti-clockwise? Why does it not go like this? Then the day they are going to do the kind of fan that takes heat out of the factory, they start bringing it like this. And you just see it every day. You just pass. Somebody should ask questions. And say, okay, this one takes heat. This one brings air. Something has happened. Somebody will go to school and that's what they will learn. Is anybody coming up saying here now? Questions. Meditation is the place where you sit down and you are brooding over it. You are thinking about that thing. See, you will never, I have told everybody that I have met through about 5 to 6 things. God revealed that thing to me, why people fail and keep failing and we keep failing the exam. They read, they don't meditate, they don't think, they don't ask questions. Because if you meditate, you will ask, who said this thing? Is there anything any other author has said? If I compare the thought of this author and this author, is there a difference? You can never enter an examination hall and write the comparison of different thoughts and the lecturer will fail you. Because even himself will know that what you wrote, he has not seen it. That was the shortest course to pass any exam when I just realized that it is easy. There's nothing hard. I just, just look for three people. By the time you're defining one thing, you say A said this, B said this, C said this. Comparing what A said to B and C said to C. Leave the answer. Leave the lecturer disturbing himself. Even himself will take textbook and start looking for what A said. Look for what B said. Look for what C said. Before he decides to compare what you have said, even if you fail it, he would have given you an answer. For knowing what A said, what B said, and what C said. We always search. We don't do research. What helps you in life to get wisdom is not searching. Searching is just a one thing. That's why you see the word research. Re. What does the word re there means? Do it again. Do it again. Do you know there are scriptures that I've sat down with for times and I'll do that again and look at them. And so I don't understand why this is like this. Then sometimes you ask me a question, then I'll be telling you things like, oh, some theologians usually will say this. Oh, this theologian will say this. Why am I doing that? It's just the theologian came from heaven. May we not live a shallow life. May we not live a shallow life. May we not live a shallow life. These are the keys. Ignoring wisdom can cost you your life. Ignoring wisdom can cost you delay. Ignoring wisdom can make you poor. Can I tell you the truth? Poverty is a function. It is painful, but that's where poverty is. The root of poverty is the inability of knowing to know what to do, problem to solve, how to solve it. See, you can even know what to do and do it at a level. Huh? Do you know how many people who have run business all their lives and their business cannot cross 20 million? Never. Because they are running it by themselves. As soon as they scale up that business and a person with wisdom on how to build structures enter there and say, where is operations? Where is finance? Where is marketing? Where is sales? Put everything separate together and let's watch the business in 2 years. Then the business of 20 million will move to 1 billion. How? Wisdom to scale up. Sir, the problem in life is the inability of people to know what to do and do it. If you know it and you do it, you will never fail. Sit where you are and speak to God and say, God, help me. I don't want to be foolish. I want to be a wise person. I subscribe to your word. I subscribe to your way. If God says flee fornication, you say you will do it. Continue. If God says don't lie, you say lying is the shortest course. Continue. You see, that is the definition of foolishness. God says no adultery. A man says forget it. I beg, I cannot keep with my wife. Continue and see where it will end. But if you know you don't want to live like that, you say, God, I will never be foolish. I will do what you have said. I'll follow your ways. I'll follow your ways. It's just like you read something intellectual and you do something otherwise. You read something in a book and you do the opposite. There's no way. There's no how the person will get it right. Can you pray and say, God, help me in every area of my life. I need well-rounded wisdom. Well-rounded wisdom. When it comes to practical wisdom, I want to have. When it comes to moral wisdom, I will be there. When it comes to spiritual wisdom, I will be there. When it comes to natural wisdom, I will be there. And when it comes to intellectual wisdom, I will not be bankrupt. God help me. God help me. I want you to pray. Do you know there are many things that they are not power problems, they are wisdom problems? Kai, majority of the things we face in life, they are wisdom problems. Do you know how that medical science, just by the wisdom of medicine, see the number of people, thousands all over the world, that medical science has delivered? Just wisdom of medical intellectual science. There are many things God wants us to operate in our lives. We have to yield. We have to submit. We have to ask Him to help us. Yes, I remember the highest level of wisdom is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. His name is wisdom, in case you do not know. Your name, where is your name, breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me, time will come, they will ask you, Madam, how did you train these children? How did you manage this family? Sir, how did you make your sons and your daughters like this? How did you make this business like this? How? What did you do? And you will know. You will remember how you followed the wisdom of God. You will remember how you subscribed to the wisdom of God. They are asking you, they say you are foolish because you are loyal. Wait! And see where their independence, leaders, carelessness will lead them. Then you will know that you were wiser.
Just preach your name upon me.
Tell God to open your eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes, Jesus. Open my eyes.
Just
open my eyes, Jesus. Help me see. Open my eyes. Help me see. Open my eyes. Help me see. Open my eyes. Help me see. Jesus, open my eyes. Help me see. The will, the ability to will, to do. The will to do. The will and to do. I will not only will, I will do. I will not only will, I will do. The ability to do it. The ability to say no when I should say no. Say, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. If the word of God says no, you say it's not easy for me. Beat yourself and do it and see what your life will look like. Deny yourself that craving. Deny yourself that desire. Just to listen and obey and see where it will lead you. Principles of favor, honor, financial principles. Give and it shall be given. Say, no, I don't like to give. I'm very smart. I know how to gather. There is he that gathereth. The Bible says, yet he comes to lack. But there is he that spreads, and yet he has more. Is that not the wisdom of God? Does it look like what human beings will teach? But the wisdom of God is way higher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The first step to embracing the wisdom of God is salvation. To deny Jesus is the worst thing, is the most foolish thing anybody can do. That the blood of Jesus has been shed on the cross, that salvation has been bought, remission of sin there. Just say, I believe, and start following. Then the world is saying, no, I will never know. Hey! To go to hell is the most foolish. Only foolish people go to hell. Only foolish people will go to hell. Every single person in hell is a foolish person. Any single person you see in hell is a foolish person. The simple shortcut to enter heaven, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. But you see how hard it is for many people. Why? I know this. I know that. How have I compared science? This one. Just believe. And the reason why people will enter hell is because of foolishness. Foolishness. Foolishness can cause somebody their eternal destiny. Foolishness. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Can you see it? A fool has said. The definition of a foolish person is a person who does not acknowledge God. Every time you don't acknowledge God in your decisions, every time you don't acknowledge God in your actions, every time you don't acknowledge God in the way you do things, the Bible says that man is a fool. A fool has said in his heart, I will not do it the way of God. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, so I'm wrapping up this prayer. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior and be wise now. Wherever you are seated, raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Wherever you are, raise it confidently. Sit down and just raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Wherever you are, if you are online, if you are on site, anywhere you are right now, do that. I'm going to pray with you. Can you say after me, Lord Jesus? Today, I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. I embrace wisdom. Wisdom meaning salvation. I come to you today. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I receive eternal life into my spirit. And I declare I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate Jesus tonight? Can you celebrate Jesus tonight?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.